for many of us, or probably for all of us, in a certain sense, the easiest and the hardest kinos to connect to are the kinos that are composed by Rav Schwab and the Bava Rebbe in the aftermath of the Shoah. I want to read you a description that I saw in a book by Professor Hillel Abramson. And he records a description, a very sad description of how Jews felt religiously the way that the Nazis were treating them. One of the Jews who went through the war wrote the following. Jews are now very pious. Israel is now very, very observant. They observe all the ritual laws. They are stabbed and punched with holes like matzahs, and have as much bread as on Pesach. They are beaten like koshanos, rattled like the groggers of Purim. They are green as a srogim and thin as lulavim. They fast as if it were Yom Kippur. They're burnt as if it was Chanukah. And their mood as if it's Tisha B'Av. You think a lot about the suffering of Klal Yisrael, about the loss of life, loss of Torah, loss of values. But I always feel that it's so important when Rav Palm Zatzal was asked, how do we teach the Holocaust to the next generation? How do we teach people about something which is completely unfathomable? Rav Palm Zatzal said that we have to focus on the heroism. We have to focus on the strength. We have to not focus only on the suffering and the pain and the difficulty, which people have a hard time understanding, certainly don't enjoy hearing about, but to try to focus on the unbelievable strength of those Jews who fought back, and even those Jews who didn't fight back. The heroism of those Jews who just went through that entire experience. In a memoir from a survivor, he described his life in the rabbinate after the war. I spent my entire adult life serving the Jewish community as a teacher and a rabbi. These were good, meaningful years, and I have no regrets. I have helped draw many Jews closer to their heritage, to the Torah and Hashem. For this opportunity, I am very grateful. I have served as a principal and as an associate rabbi, with very much respect given to me by my congregants and students. Even so, no professional role has meant more to me than the role of a teacher. The irony is not lost on me for a single day. Hitler, Yimach Shmo, not only tried to destroy all the Jewish people, but also the unbreakable chain that dates back to Har Sinai. The Jewish tradition that is passed along orally from father to son to daughter, from teacher to student. And then he wrote as follows. Hitler tried to kill my entire family. He did not succeed. Hitler tried to destroy my love for God and Torah. He did not succeed. Hitler tried to turn me away from a religious life. He did not succeed. Hitler tried to destroy my ability to inspire other Jews to love being a Jew as much as I do, and he did not succeed. And this unbelievable Yid concludes chapter 23 of his memoir, I win. I win. We have a big achrayus to make sure that children, grandchildren, the future generations know, no matter how much we suffered, after Chatzos, we're going to pick ourselves up off the floor. But so much, in so many different ways, and to be able to pick ourselves up, is nari miyafar kumi, and to say, we won. And we will win. And v'tizchak liyom acharon. We get the last laugh. Rav Amital Zatzal from the Gush went through the war, was in a work camp, and he described once in a drasha before the Yom Noraim, he said it was really, really hard to believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to makabel olmach l'shamayim, to continue to believe in Hashem, and he was going through everything that he was going through. He said it was really hard on Yom Tovim to say Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim. To say that we were chosen, this is the plight, this is the fate of the chosen people. But the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal from Har Etzion said, he said, despite how hard it was for me to say Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim, and to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you say in the davening, you loved us, you desired us, you chose us, he said it was really hard, but I continued to say it then, and I continue to say it now. And I feel that's such an achrayus. It's never our place to judge those who could no longer say things of that nature after the war, who could never, what could I say for again, could never say Shema again, could never do a mitzvah again. But there were unbelievable Jews who somehow said it then and continued to say it afterwards. And therefore it's our job to do the same. Despite the fact that we don't have all the answers, the Klal Yisrael still suffers, though a lane which should never be anything like those horrible atrocities that we saw during the war. But to be able to pick ourselves up, and with the courage that some of these tzaddikim had, that all of these tzaddikim had, to be able to look in the face of evil and to ask the right questions. I want to read one more piece inside. In Esther Farbstein's beautiful translation of memoirs of different people, different tzaddikim, rabbis who went through the war, called the Forgotten Memoirs. So one of the entries is from Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor. Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor was one of the few rabbanim who made it out of Poland. Eventually came to New York. He had a kehila in New York for a short period of time. Went on to spend the end of his rabbinic career as the chief rabbi in Mexico, and he wrote numerous svarim. In the Hagdama to his svarim in Halacha, Chalash and Chuvos, he wrote two different sections of memoirs. And he describes, he's writing in 1950, shortly after the war, he's wondering, how is it possible that people are asking the wrong questions? That people are reflecting on this whole horrible tkufa of Klal Yisrael and not understanding what they should even be asking. He says it's a lack of faith that causes people in the present generation to not be properly shocked and horrified at the terrible tragedy. On the contrary, our contemporaries have no complaints against divine providence and do not even rail against the Amalekim of our generation, who invented cruel and unusual deaths in addition to the four deaths of our sages. Ghastly deaths that have never been recorded from the day of creation. Rather, our contemporaries find fault with our behavior. People ask. Our contemporaries find fault with our behavior. We who were slaughtered, who were led to the gas chambers, who were killed by electrified fences, who were buried alive. People dare to ask, why did the Jews stretch out their necks willingly to the executioner without any effort of self-defense? Why didn't they organize themselves to fight the torturers? Why did they not unite to rise up actively against these murderers? These kinds of questions can only come from Jews who lived in the free world, far from the veil of tears in which we lived and far from the trouble, distress, and anguish to which our enemies subjected us. No matter how these Jews might try to exert themselves to imagine it, they will never be able to conceive of the suffering and impoverished lives we endured during those years. Therefore, they ask what they ask. They point the finger towards Klal Yisrael. Why weren't we stronger? Why weren't we braver? Why weren't we more courageous? But he writes, at the end of his memoir, despite our pitiful situation, despite the fact that we had reached rock bottom and lived in darkness, we still searched for some meaning and purpose in the suffering and punishment. Thus, from our miserable existences, and he has a right to say it because it was him, from our miserable existences would rise a spark of hope, a flicker of optimism, and an inexhaustible source of heroism. Not materialistic, earthy heroism, but the kind of valor that allowed us to withstand all our trials and tribulations for the sake of eternal moral ethical principles. And he writes, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, those who survived and those who did not, we've done nothing of which to be ashamed. What has been done to us shamelessly in front of the entire world has never before in the history of humanity been perpetrated. The generation of the flood would be appalled at the comparison with our generation. The sins of Sodom and Amorah pale in contrast with the sins that have been visited on us in front of our very eyes. But he writes as a survivor saying, we need to point the finger towards the true enemy. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't criticize those Jews, how they responded, how they could have responded, what they should have done. It's never our place, he says, to do such a thing. It's our job to recognize their heroism, to be able, like the survivor wrote in his memoirs, we won. That as much as Hitler wanted to destroy every last shred of Yiddishkeit, Baruch Hashem, we have thriving Jewish communities, generations being rebuilt, Torah being learnt, Eretz Yisrael being once again established. And it's our job to have that card like Rav Amital had, sitting in a work camp, to say, Asher b'charbonu mikol la'amim, even in our hardest and harshest moments, to be able to wipe away those tears and to say, we don't understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's master plan, but this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. He wants us to somehow to defy history, to pick ourselves up, to try again, to draw a little bit closer, to continue to ask the questions, to try to come up with the answers, to try to better ourselves, to use this as a day of tshuva, fixing in a deep way the illnesses of Klal Yisrael. And then Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will come to explain to us and to avenge all of that blood that was spilled throughout all of the years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should avenge their blood. The art scroll that appears on page 384.